It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is actually the second time we're recording this because I forgot to press record.
Okay, so let's do it again.
Here we go.
Take two.
We're going to dig into the mailbag. Got an email from friend of the show, Robin, who said, I was listening to your April 13th podcast, number 898, and it made me think of the seating arrangement at my own place, because you were talking about having assigned seats at your house.
Yeah. Well, basically, you know, you always just wind up sitting in the same seats. And I was like, why do we always go back to the same seat? Why do we revert to that?
It's never discussed.
No, it's just what you do.
So he said, we're pretty relaxed when it comes to where we sit. My wife has her spot. The kids know it as mama's spot. However, there is one spot that all three of our kids always seem to want and argue about. It's the prime location when it comes to viewing the TV. Even though we don't have it on during meal times, it's still a fight. Instead of trying to sift through the conversation of, well, he had it yesterday and she got it before I did, I just yell out, dice of decisions.
Yes.
I have a three-sided dice that we now roll after assigning a number to each kid and let fate decide who gets the seat.
Very fair.
Removes any claim of being unfair since it's a random chance, and the kids love it because they know if they are lucky, they could get it multiple times in a row. I think my favorite part is now the kids are using it for their own problem solving when they can't agree, and occasionally I hear a kid yell out, dice of decisions, and I echo it in response.
I hope he yells it just like, you need to yell it very, you know, like, dice of decisions!
Dice of decisions!
That's dice of decisions!
Everyone yeah. agrees. Mm. We do something similar at our house. See, I only have two kids, so we can flip a coin. Works, we've got two sides. When we're trying to decide what to watch on movie night, Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, I'll pick three options for everyone, and then everybody gets to vote. And if there's a tie, we'll flip a coin. And you would think that that would be fair and it would remove any complaints, but no, the kid who loses still cries every time, so...
Yeah, I would suspect that the coin was rigged, or the dice was rigged. I would. Just like a Monopoly, you know, when somebody lands on all the good stuff nonstop, and it's just like, no, this dice is rigged.
This is some bullshit. This is
absolutely. I stopped talking to one of my friends because of that one night, because she landed on everything that she possibly needed, and then would land on the free spot where you get all the money, and I was just getting so frustrated. I stopped talking to her for a little bit. I couldn't. I was just like, you're rigging the dice. You cast a spell on it. It's not fair.
My brother once landed on free parking 19 times in a row when we played, and I was like, this is...
Nope.
Rich get richer, hey?
Yeah. Horseshit.
Robin goes on to say, I hope you have a good morning. My wife and I are big fans of you two, and my wife likes to brag how she got to cut Beckler's kid's hair when you guys went to Beaners.
Oh, yeah, Beaners.
Thanks for documenting your COVID experience. It was very insightful. God bless, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
We love getting mail. Thank you, Robin.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
You recommended something to me, Beckler, and it cost me $3 and it changed my life. Just wanted to let you know. So I've been trying for weeks to get this stupid bumper sticker off the back of my car, my back windshield. And you told me to buy this little razor blade from Canadian Tire.
Yep.
Cost me $3. Okay. And it peeled the bumper sticker off my windshield in one swift movement. It was as if it wasn't even attached.
It's the greatest cleaning tool since the Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
It honestly, it is better than the Mr. Clean. And I was very impressed by the Mr. Clean. And this is far better. And it was $3. It was the most satisfying feel. It was like popping bubble wrap. It was so smooth on how this thing just, it whisks anything away.
Have you used it on anything else?
Not yet.
It's great on countertops, tile.
God.
Like if you go with like the scum that builds up on your bathroom tiles, like run that thing over it and they'll be smooth to the touch after. It's so good.
Like who needs therapy when you have this thing in your life? Anything that's bothering you, anything that's sticking to you, you just scrape it right off with this thing.
Yeah, and the fact that it's so cheap.
It's like, I think it was on sale, actually. I think I got it for $1.99 for this thing. If you're looking for a COVID gift for somebody and you don't have a lot of money, just buy them this. I swear. I brought in this thing to demonstrate just so that I could do this during the show. And it just like in one movement. Look at this.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, is that sweet.
Oh.
Easy.
I just.
Shauna will be in her bunk.
I'm so sorry. Look at that. It's
fantastic. I know.
It's gone just like.
I had the same reaction you did when I first started using it.
Like, I just can't stop. Honestly, like, you just gotta...
Oh.
Oh. Like, I just... Beckler, how did... This needs to be in everybody's life, okay?
Yeah,
this
I think
really,
so.
If you need... It's a Mastercraft little razor thing that you get.
It holds little razor
Tire.
Blades, yep.
$2.99. I have some replacement blades as well. This is like seven years worth of therapy.
When you pop a sweet new blade on there, too. Oh... Oh, baby.
I haven't even shifted the blade out yet. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Wait till you get trying on some other things.
Oh, my.
It's phenomenal.
Like, whoever came up with, what kind of sorcery invented this?
It's sharp.
Oh.
The magic eraser, that's sorcery.
Okay.
This is just really sharp.
This is still better. Still better.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Hey, Shauna, what's chapping your ass lately? Anything been chapping your ass?
Well, I feel like something's been chapping your ass. That's why you asked me. So, what's the ass chapper? You got
nothing? Nothing chapping your ass these days?
No.
Things are going well?
Things are okay.
Good?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's chapping my ass.
What's chapping it?
That my kids have to pee every single time we get in the vehicle. Doesn't matter if I make them go, like, the second before we walk out the door, they'll still have to go once we're at the furthest point in our trip, wherever we are. It's like they have some kind of piss reservoir that they keep filled for exactly that moment.
There's a whole, the new Hyundai commercial is all about that. Have you seen that
commercial? No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. It's all about how the parents continually ask the kid right before they get into the car, do you have to pee? Kid's like, nope. The minute they're in the car in a bad spot, gotta pee, mom.
Now, does this Hyundai come with, like, a urinal or something, or how does this...
It doesn't come with a urinal. No, it just shows that, you know, it has an emergency, you know, she didn't see. She was trying to turn off to get the kid to the bathroom quickly, and then it censored and was like, oh, stop, and that's
what it's
all
speaks
about.
To me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's always an emergency.
Yeah.
It's never like, you know, hey, Dad, I know this is a bit of an inconvenience, but if you happen to see a place where I could pull off and relieve myself...
No,
I would be appreciative.
Coming.
No, it's.
That is coming.
I gotta pee my pants.
I gotta go down.
They do that little dance, and it's so stressful to try to drive when that is going on. I'm like, I'm on the freeway. What do you want me to do about this?
Yes.
So then I have two options. I can either try to find a public washroom and take them in there, and that's my nightmare because they touch everything.
Oh, yeah.
They touch everything in the.
Like crawling around on the floor.
Yeah,
and
Brigham's like playing in the sink. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm averse to public washrooms. I operate the whole thing with my foot.
Yes.
So, like, the fact that they do that drives me crazy. So that's never my first choice.
Putting his head in the toilet bowl. You're like, oh, God.
The self-swirly. So the other option is I can find somewhere else. And I can't tell you how many times we've pulled behind a building or a dumpster or into someone's back alley. And I'm like, quickly.
Yeah.
Go quickly.
I know.
We guaranteed there is footage of us from multiple security cameras around the city. Yeah, pissing in the alley with the boys or something. Just,
I know.
All the time. It's so stressful. That is what is chapping my ass, Shauna.
It reminds me of the time that I had to go into a farmer's field in Saskatchewan. It was an emergency, a bad bum emergency. And I pull off and the farmer's driving down his road as I'm there squatting and there's nothing I can do about it, right? Like, what do I just wave. I'm like, sorry. Some bad Saskatchewan shellfish. I can't help it.
Squinting against the sun. What's that in the field? Oh, it's a white girl's ass. Oh.
The VNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Bo was telling me that for recess, because they're not having like full school recesses right now. They're having like just his class. And he says they're the only ones out in the schoolyard. And they usually play one of two games. Red light, green light, or what time is it, Mr. Wolf? And I told him that I hope next year he gets the full recess experience.
Those are two pretty solid games. But yeah, you got to get more than that.
Recess needs to be just anarchy.
Yes.
Chaos, right? But in that vein, I was trying to explain this to him, and I was thinking, okay, so in that vein, what would you say is the GOAT of recess games, of the games you played at recess?
Oh, man. I mean, like, Red Rover was always a good time.
Red Rover is a classic.
It's a classic. Duck Duck Goose, also a classic.
Did you play Duck Duck Goose at recess?
We did sometimes, yeah. I mean, Tag... We always played at recess as kids, but that was pretty young. I'm trying to think of what we played after that.
Tag would be the original, the OG.
That would be the OG for sure.
But I also think that like tag is very, very one-dimensional because as soon as the slowest kid gets it, the game is over.
It's true. Yeah.
So.
What other games are there? I mean, like, there's wall ball.
Wall ball was probably my favorite.
Or as Cliff, my boyfriend, calls it ass burn.
Red ass is Red what ass. We called it. Yeah, because if you lost, you had to go stand against the wall and everyone got to take a turn.
Fire on the ass. There were a lot of actual terms for that game, if you think about it. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that, I mean, that added some danger element to it, right? It escalated things a little bit, so maybe that one?
Yeah, I would say that, though that'd be my favorite, but whether or not it's the GOAT... I mean, tag is probably the GOAT as much as I hate to admit it.
Yeah. Are you even allowed to play Aspern anymore?
I don't know.
You know, like, I feel like...
I mean, we also had games like fighting and bullying growing up.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And those are schoolyard classics, but I don't think you can play those anymore.
No,
so.
You can't. Or the kid that would bring the lawn darts. I mean, you can't do that anymore.
Hey. I'd have to say for my picks would probably be Grounders. I know there was different versions of Grounders. You guys ever play that?
Yeah, and I can't believe we forgot that. That's... Someone texted Grounders, too, and I was like, how do we miss Grounders?
Embarrassing.
Remind me of the rules of Grounders.
Well, the ones that I played was the person who was it closed their eyes, which everybody cheated anyway, but they closed their eyes, and you weren't allowed to touch the ground. If you had to move to another piece of equipment, you had to do it quietly or through the air. And if somebody yelled Grounders while you were on the ground, then you were caught.
So it was almost like Marco Polo, but outside of a
kind
pool.
Kind of. Yes, exactly, yes. And then the other one I was thinking of, it wasn't really an activity game, but it was Pogs. You remember playing Pogs?
Oh, Pogs were huge for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, they got banned from our school. It's too much like gambling.
As soon as anything got fun, it got banned.
That's pretty
funny. That's right, yeah.
For us, we had a yo-yo phase where yo-yos were huge.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then Pokemon cards, and both of those were banned.
Right. We had the electric yo-yos. Did you have those, too?
Were they light up?
The fancy light up ones? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could do a few things, yeah. I could do a few things.
Show the boys some tricks.
With my yo-yo. Yeah. I could do the martini glass, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And around the world.
The dog, but that was about it.
You could walk that dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about walking the dog.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
You know how I know I'm tired? I took my car for a bath yesterday, okay? This new car actually gets baths, by the way. The old one, the ship box, it didn't. It was a naturalist.
Just when it rained, right?
Wait for the rain. Yeah, and that's how it got it. But this new one, it does. It gets baths. So I went to the touchless car wash. And I actually like touchless car washes. There's something about it that I find oddly therapeutic. Like,
they're expensive, though.
Yeah.
Like, what did you pay?
$10.
That's not bad.
No, it's not awful. And you go in there and then you just kind of relax in there. I always find it's quite nice and relaxing. Here's the problem, though. I woke up in the car wash. So I fell asleep in the car wash. I don't think it was for long. I think it was only for a couple of minutes because the dryer had just shut off when I woke up. But I full out fell asleep in the car wash for a couple minutes.
Well, how long were you in there for? Like, it only lasts for what?
Yes.
3-4 minutes, maybe?
Yeah.
Longer than that?
6 or 7, okay. Something like that. So, again, it was, and the dryer had just shut off, and I know the dryer is about a minute, the last minute of it. So, it was not long, but I woke up, and I was like, ah!
Was it, like, the hook detaching from the bottom of your car that, like, whatever that thing is that pulls you through?
This one doesn't have that. It's just you drive in, and you park, and it just kind of goes all around you. So,
okay.
It wasn't the hook that woke me up. It was just the final, like, dryer shutting off, and I'm like, okay, I missed that part because you're supposed to drive out of it and then that's how you dry the last bit of this car. And I'd missed that cycle. And I was just like, how did I even manage to
You are like, what's going on in there?
I know. Luckily, no.
She's had a long day.
Can you imagine? What would happen if I just stayed in there? They'd have to come knock and be like, ma'am, you need to get out of there.
Your car would be really clean.
It would be really clean. Just kept going. Going and going.
That is tired. That's too tired.
That's a little bit too tired. I should probably go and have a nap.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So this past weekend, the Federal Liberal Party held their convention, and they voted 77% in favor of trying to implement some form of universal basic income in Canada. Not unlike CERB or the CRB, which we've had over the past 13 months or so.
And interesting.
You know, I'm not the first person to say that. I think CERB was a dry run for UBI.
And we talked about that.
Yeah. Did we talk about that on the air?
Mm-hmm.
To get people used to the idea of receiving money from the government for nothing, basically. Like, there already are, you know, entitlements in place, like social assistance and EI and stuff, but on a far larger scale than that. Here's my prediction, though, Shauna. I think the next election is going to be a referendum on universal basic income in Canada. And I also think it's going to get really ugly.
Why?
Because you can already kind of see it. Like, for many people, UBI has become one of these sacred topics that you're not allowed to really question. You're not allowed to be on the other side of. And if my prediction is correct, I think then this is going to be the first of many conversations we have on this show about the topic. We're going to have to get some experts on.
Yep.
Probably have to
I was going to say, I understand the concept of it, but I don't know enough about the politics behind it, you know?
Yeah.
About the logistics of it.
We'll probably start with Trevor Toom from the UFC, The Economist. Yeah. He's always a good guy to talk to on this stuff. He puts it in really simple terms.
He does. For people like me. I'm like, thank you. All of a sudden, everything makes sense.
Of course, I think like UBI could take many different forms depending on who gets it and how much is handed out every month and where that money comes from. But to be honest with you, Shauna, at this moment, I don't really see how it would work. Like the idea of giving every person in the country X amount of dollars per month, like I don't see how that doesn't just lead to exactly that amount of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You'd think it would, right? Yeah, things would just go up in cost knowing that people have this extra money in their bank account.
Yeah, and I've yet to hear it explained in a way where it seems like the solution. And I think that's why CERB and CRB were so important, because that saved a lot of people mm-hmm. over this past year. And obviously, in the case of this past year, it's a bit different. If you're going to close everything down and not really allow people to work, then there has to be some sort of support in place there. But it's also cost something like $85 billion. I don't know how that's sustainable long term, how you do that every year. I could be convinced otherwise by a strong enough argument. I haven't like dug my heels in on this topic. And I think like there's very likely a jobs crisis coming. That really worries me. And if there's no help for a huge number of people who can't get the basics, or who can't find work, then, you know, if we want to avoid a revolution, we're probably going to have to do something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm open to hearing why I'm wrong. But
there must be some reason that, you know, inflation wouldn't work that way, because otherwise it just makes zero sense. As you said, it just means that everything will be costing the exact same amount. You just have extra money and then things cost more. So and
people will say tax the corporations, tax the rich, but I think that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's
been an argument for a long time.
So. I think if this becomes like the election issue, we're going to be talking about it a lot. So this is kind of like just dipping our
intro
toe.
Intro to UBI.
Basically.
UBI 101.
But I'm very worried because people already go crazy when the subject comes up. Mm-hmm. And if this election hinges on it, I think that the rhetoric is going to just rip us apart because it's already there. So this is kind of like...
It's only a matter of time till we find out.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My boyfriend Cliff bought me a new baby blue Jays jersey, their new ones. Super sweet.
Nice.
For my birthday. And it's awesome. I love everything about it. But he was talking about it and he was like, yeah, their new jerseys are Nike jerseys.
Like, he calls it Nike, does he?
He called it Nike. I was like, Nike? No, it's Nike. Like, I remember when Nike was huge. When I was growing mm-hmm. up, everybody had Nike everything. You had the Just Do It stuff. We'd go to the Nike outlet and we'd stock up and everything we could.
Oh,
and
you were lucky.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get any of that stuff.
Oh, man.
I remember the first time I asked my mom, I think I would have been maybe in grade 3, and I asked my mom if my next pair of shoes could be a pair of Nikes, and she just laughed at me. She's like, no. I don't think we had winners then.
Oh.
So, like, that's where... You had a lot of good deals. We didn't have winners. We didn't have the Nike outlet store, so it was expensive. She's like, you will like your four-stripe Kmart Adidas.
Yeah.
you can get a pair of Tsuji's from Kmart if you want.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, that was why we'd go to the Nike outlet. My mom would let us go there because things would be 60% off, and I remember very vividly the giant, oversized Dudes XL t-shirts that I'd wear because that would be all they'd have, but I was like, it still has the logo.
Were you a 90s Nike. Rapper wearing those 4XL
tees? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was when I was pretty young, and, you know, you just wear oversized, ridiculous tees. Like, what are you doing? It was actually worse than not... I should have just not worn Nike, to be honest, but there you go. But I remember the distinct discussion about how it was Nike. Like, there was a debate that happened at one point, and it was very clear. We're like, no, it is Nike, not Nike. And if you said Nike, you were a poser.
For sure. Yeah, you outed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be wearing
as someone
that.
Who didn't have any Nikes.
If you walked around...
in Kmart shoes.
Do you know how to... Did you at least pronounce Kmart right?
I think so. Because it is Nike, isn't it?
It's Nike.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a big... This is, again, it was a big discussion at the time. And I was like, my boyfriend must have missed the boat on that. Nike.
He's still
it's
calling it Nike.
It's not Nike, okay?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Nike is a goddess, right?
Yes.
Named after a goddess?
Nike, the goddess of whatever.
Goddess of children workers. Goddess of sweatshop workers.
Yeah.
Do they still do that? Is Nike still doing the sweatshop thing? I remember because I wanted Nike so bad.
Yeah.
And then my mom showed me this picture from a magazine she found of this like 6-year-old kid sewing a Nike soccer ball together. And I was like, oh, maybe I don't want Nikes anymore.
Yeah. It's funny because I always think like that was the competition who exposed the sweatshop thing.
You think it was like Adidas who paid that kid to?
Well, I think, I mean, they wear, they use did a photo sweatshops, shoot? But I think that a lot of those companies unfortunately use sweatshops, but I think it was the competition that made it like a, this hyper focus on Nike and their sweatshop. I don't know. This is a crazy conspiracy, but just because I'm like, you can't tell me that the other massive brands don't use sweatshops. Like they
right,
all,
because how would they compete price-wise if they...
Yeah. It's just that they, you know, Nike was, of course, the biggest, so they had the biggest target on their back.
Right.
And, but I remember, yeah, that huge Nike sweatshop thing that came out was...
You're probably not wrong about that. I wouldn't... They at least, like, fueled the fire a bit, hey?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you're talking about that kind of money involved, they're one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yep.
I could see it getting dirty like that.
I know. I know. And again, who maybe they're, you know, everywhere uses quote unquote sweatshops, but some are good sweatshops and others are maybe underpaid or
right.
worse conditions or whatever it might be. But yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, that was a huge thing on them. That was they were massive. And then all of a sudden there's this huge conspiracy.
The whole, I mean, okay, obviously, if you're working kids to the bone, then that is immoral.
Mm-hmm.
But with some of these companies that outsource their labor, like I read, I think it was in Bangladesh, and they were talking to a family in Bangladesh who worked at one of these textile factories or whatever, and said, like, we need this work. Like, yeah. if this went away, we would starve. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's tough. But.
I know, and that's... You do see that, right?
Yeah. Like, well, so I guess the argument would be you pay them a better wage.
Yeah.
But then what's the purpose of outsourcing? Why wouldn't a company keep it within their own country then? So
it's true.
It's a tough one. It's a very tough one, isn't it?
It is.
Do you remember the rumor about the Adidas acronym?
Yes.
Remember what it stood for?
Well,
All day I dream about sports is what it was right. supposed to be, but I don't think that's true.
No, that was just one of those other things that went along with this. The Adidas, Nike, that big time in our life.
Yeah. And then there was Reebok, a distant third. But I guess like in the 80s, Reebok was one of the big ones, weren't they?
Yeah, but in the 90s, I remember Reebok being really uncool
yeah.
for a while. Like I was
Your dad wore Reeboks yeah. in the 90s.
Yeah,
so.
Those classic white Reeboks with the little like logo on the bottom there and...
It's amazing how influenced we were by all that, even at like 8 years old, hey?
Yep. Yep. The fact that I would wear like a double XL men's Nike ugly ass shirt just because like it had the symbol.
Like you were in a B. Diddy video.
Although, honestly, like my fashion then. Choices, I mean, they're not good now, but back then were just embarrassing, okay?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
I've got another etymology kind of for you here, Beckler.
Okay.
I was thinking about the term shoplifter yesterday, and I was kind of wondering where that term came from. And apparently that term is as old as the term shopping itself. So shoplifter was a general term, including con artists and pickpockets and prostitutes as well. And that was used back in the late 17th century. And this is when stores started displaying their goods in the windows to try and draw customers in. And that's when it started becoming easier to steal the goods because, well, the goods were out in the open so people could see them easier. But the term was originally used in books like The Ladies' Dictionary, which also provided tips on losing weight and styling hair. So I guess it was as common for women to pickpocket as it was to do those kinds of things. But back then it was apparently mostly women who did it. It was women who would steal things and shoplift. And they also had another term for these women, Amazons or Roaring Girls. So
I thought an Amazon was like a really big lady.
No, apparently no. Shoplifters were called that as well, which... Roaring Girl. That's pretty funny. But there were famous shoplifters back then. Mary Frith and Mole Cut Purse, to name a few. Which
Mole Cut Purse?
Mole Cut Purse.
There's a name.
The most old-timey name I've ever heard. Okay?
my great-grandmammy, Mole Cut Purse.
Mole Cut Purse? Mole Cut Purse. But in 1699, English Parliament passed a shoplifting act, and it punished these petty crimes with death.
Whoa.
So if you stole something worth more than 5 shillings, you would be hanged.
Wow.
That's how
serious. They didn't mess around back then.
They didn't. No. So that's crazy to me. But I guess eventually doctors began to redefine some shoplifting, and they started using the word kleptomania, which is from the Greek klepton, which means stealing, and mania, which means insanity. So stealing insanity is actually what kleptomania translates
to. Okay.
Which is so crazy. So that's kind of the history of shoplifting and how that came to be.
Etymology with Shauna.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
When your time comes, Shauna, do you have a preference for which vaccine you get?
I love the way you worded that. When your time comes.
That made sound like you're going to die.
Wow. No. When my time comes.
When your number is called.
Okay. No.
No? You don't even.
I don't care.
You don't even think like you hope that it's one and not the other, but you take anyone? No?
I know. You know what? First, when the AstraZeneca thing first came out and I was reading about that, and then I was like, okay, this is just very, like, there's really nothing to
like
be concerned
about. Like, the risk is very low?
The risk is extreme.
Yeah.
And then they're saying Johnson, I assume every vaccine will probably now have this come out where there's this very small risk of blood clots, for example. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either. But apparently some people are adamant that they get one over the other.
Yeah.
Angus Reid released a poll this week which found that 54% of Canadians are uncomfortable with AstraZeneca. And then I heard you mention in the news this morning that there are concerns about blood clots with Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I've heard experts, you know, be asked the question, which is the best vaccine? And they'll often say, whichever one you can get first is the best vaccine for you.
They say, I mean, they're very effective at preventing deaths.
Yeah.
So...
And I'm right there with you. I have no preference. I will take whatever is available to me. Mm. I am curious about the side effects, though. Like, anybody I've met who has been vaccinated, I ask them, do you know which one you had? And, like, how did you feel afterwards? And responses vary. Like, some people have a few days where they're feeling pretty rough, and other people don't feel anything at all. Yeah. So, and it doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason to it so far, just based on who I've talked to. But if we're being honest, I'm more worried about passing out at the sight of the needle.
Yeah, you're afraid of needles. So
than I am about what's in it.
I don't think it matters.
It, so.
Yeah, which one you do, you're just gonna. Are they gonna have to lay you down?
Okay. Yeah. Do you know these big vaccination centers? Do they have like that room in the back
that
have
kids section,
Winnie the Pooh on the wall, where you can lay down and they give you a sucker if you do good? Do they
lie
have
lie down
those?
And Mickey Mouse is on the. The ceiling. Yeah. Okay, close your eyes, Beckler. They try
good
and distract
job,
you.
Buddy.
Just punch you somewhere and then do it. All right, done.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
The city of Calgary is looking to allow the consumption of alcohol in public parks as a way for residents to enjoy the odd boozy drink during a time when there isn't much else to do. And although many agree with this proposition, there was a time in Alberta's history where booze was not looked upon as fondly.
On July 1st, 1916, on Canada Day, the biggest party day of the year, alcohol was banned. Prohibition had come into effect, meaning the sale of any alcoholic beverage whatsoever used for anything other than for medical purposes was strictly prohibited. Although it only took 5 years of an alcohol-free Alberta for the opinions on this ban to start shifting.
Many people began to feel that rather than a full-out prohibition, strict laws should be in place to ensure moderation instead. This started a province-wide discussion in 1923, in other words, a plebiscite, and the majority of the province, although a slim majority, agreed that a moderate consumption of booze should be allowed.
Low-alcohol beer could be served on licensed premises, like beer parlors and in hotels. However, the beer was disgusting. It was really weak and gained the nickname temperance beer for its lack of alcohol and taste. The rules were so strict at this time that patrons could only order one drink at a time.
You were also not allowed to move from table to table and were also prohibited from drinking while standing. Sounds a lot like COVID restrictions. It was also prohibited to have any form of entertainment in a drinking establishment.
Many felt that women must stay out of drinking parlors as well, as all kinds of sleazy events could occur. So many women were barred from all the bars.
Booze could only be purchased in government-owned stores, and there was an application of sorts that had to be filled out. Generally, your purchase was limited to one bottle of liquor or a small quantity of beer, and women, well, they weren't allowed to buy it at all.
Bull crap. Wasn't until 1928 that mixed public drinking was finally made legal, but women were only allowed in specific areas and only with a male escort. Rural establishments were different, however. Some were too small to have separate areas for women, so in these rural bars, everyone could drink together.
This wasn't a great arrangement, though, as it encouraged city dwellers to drive out to the country and then attempt to drive home. Believe it or not, it wasn't until 1967 that women were allowed to drink wherever the men were.
And the next major change occurred in 1971 when the drinking age in Alberta dropped from 21 to 18. Looking back, we were quite a prudish province for a while there, but damn, have things changed. Now we like to party.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.